You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So we're back. We had a great week last week.
Yeah, we did.
We had the moms of Jack and Jill.
Good time. Fun times, great feedback.
Yeah.
It was just fun.
Mm-hmm. I've been getting a lot of like, yo, that was dope. That was dope. Like people that listened that, you know, just I didn't realize this, but we've never done a live event for the podcast. All the live events I mentioned before, that's when we were on Sirius XM. So this was the first.
Inaugural.
Yes. And not the last, because we got to do that again. I think there's nothing like the energy of a live audience.
You know what also happened? I met with someone this week, and I presumed, I didn't know how, you know, we always ask, well, how'd you hear about us? Mm-hmm. And she said, oh, I heard you speak. And so my presumption was she was talking about last week. Mm-hmm. Nope. She had heard me present at a workshop years ago,
okay,
for another organization, but also listens to the podcast.
Okay.
So it was still enough of a,
yeah,
what's the word? Trigger, impetus, mm-hmm, for her to reach out. So she's, yeah, been listening, but those two things together, for, yeah, whatever reason, just made her say, hey, you know what? I need to pull this together.
You know what that's telling me, Andrea?
What is that telling you?
Your star is rising, my friend.
Is that what it's telling
it's
you?
It's like, I heard you speak. Oh, yeah, where? Right. I don't even remember speaking there.
I know. That could sound, yeah, like a little bit of a flex.
No,
but
it's not a flex. I mean, look, it's how God's blessing us. That's all.
Compounding interest.
Yeah, I was on a podcast this week for a podcast that is new to me. It's called Get Rich 101, mm-hmm, podcast. Mm-hmm. And he heard of me on a Schwab. Like, I don't know if you know this, but Schwab has a news channel.
I discovered this on Thursday.
So I didn't know that.
Yeah.
They asked me to speak on it like a couple weeks ago, and I forgot I did it.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I was in the Schwab office, and they were broadcasting this, and I saw a black man on screen, and he knew what he was talking about.
Like, say what?
So he hit me up. And I was like, oh, I forgot I was on the Schwab things. I know I do CNBC, and I do Fox Business, which I don't talk about all the time, and mm-hmm, I do Bloomberg, but you know, there's a lot of ways that folks have been able to find us, and it's a blessing. I think we've amplified our voice, we've amplified our reach, and it's our ministry to be able to help people with their money and their understanding of their money.
You know what that tells me, Alan Boomer?
What's that?
You're already a star.
Oh my gosh. Here you go.
I'm an emerging.
I mean, here's what I'll say. God made all of us stars.
Look at you. You testifying this
I'm
morning?
I'm just saying. He gave it to us.
Yeah.
He made us all special. And it's up to us to find our way to give back to the world.
That is true. I say all the time, I feel like I've been called to do this work.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Speaking of being called.
Speaking of work. What the heck is going on?
This has been a crazy week. Yeah, this is a crazy week. Yeah, initially.
But like we said that last week.
Yeah, no, we keep saying it. And it's to the point now that our slip is showing.
All the way. Hanging down, twisted, yeah.
Now,
splits in the wrong place.
This is kind of like a cultural.
And you don't know
saying.
Nothing about it, but.
I mean, look, I kind of wrote the topic, well, like, yeah, in terms of the title. So when someone says, Andrea, your slip is showing. Like, what do you? What do they mean? What's the meaning behind that phrase?
It's like your dirty laundry. You're showing yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you still wear slips?
No.
When's the last time?
I own one. I own a half slip.
Okay.
And I think it's like I feel blasphemous if I get rid of it, but I haven't worn it in 25 years, right. I'm sure.
So for the listener who has no idea what we're talking about, what is a slip?
A slip is an undergarment that is supposed to...
That women wear.
That Okay. A slip is an undergarment that women wear
To keep you from seeing through their dress.
Yeah.
Or skirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's usually white or off-white.
They come in multiple colors.
Are they black too?
Beige.
Okay.
Black.
Beige.
My half slip is black.
Is it black?
Yes.
Okay.
With a split in it.
Oh, so that if you have a split in your dress.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing. A lot of slips don't have the split.
Like, yeah.
And so like women would be wearing a dress with a split.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes the slip would just be too long.
Slip would be hanging down from under the skirt or dress, or it's twisted. It's just... You know, this was pre-Spanx.
Yeah.
So and those.
If you're at church and you got that tap on the shoulder saying, hey, sis, your slip is showing.
Yeah.
Like, you got to get your stuff together.
Yeah.
Like, I can see more than I need to see right now.
Yeah.
And you're kind of slipping at the same time.
The oxymoron.
Yeah.
What do they call that? Double entendre?
Yeah.
Maybe not exactly, but yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Back in the day, that was probably one of the worst feelings for a woman in church, like to get that tap on the shoulder. Like, I mean, it's out of love.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, it's embarrassing.
No. What's one level worse than that, mm-hmm. as a church girl that I am, is, sis, you should be wearing a slip. You don't want that. You don't want that.
I can see everything.
You don't want that.
Mm.
Yeah. Anyway. Or the skirt is too short, so the mother comes, meaning mother of the church comes and gives you a lap scarf. Those are awful.
Mm.
But anyway, I digress.
Yeah. Now, were you raised to cross your legs? I feel like it makes it worse if you're crossing your legs and your skirt is already short.
Generally,
I don't know why we're getting into this.
I know, right? Generally, yes, but I was definitely a tomboy. Mm-hmm. So it was a problem.
Yeah.
It was a problem. I was also like super skinny. So it was like,
yeah.
If I just sat regular, no one's seeing anything. This is too skinny.
Things like, that guys never had to worry about.
Things that guys, the sister text.
Yeah.
All over again.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So when we say our slip is showing, here's what I mean. So Trump is being Trump, but as we mentioned last week, Trump 2.0 was very different than Trump 1.0. And everyone knows April 2nd was Liberation Day,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know what was being liberated exactly. I mean, the idea was we're now going to get our fair our fair share from the world. But we announced this really, really big tariff on April 2nd. And then 1 week later, we paused the tariff. And this is what Trump does. He negotiates with a baseball bat in his hand. He announces something horrible. He hits you over the head with it. And then he backtracks. Remember mm-hmm. last week we said, hey, he's going to say psych. Like he hasn't said psych yet, but we knew the psych was coming.
Yep.
Well, he said the psych.
Wait, don't forget about the pre-psych.
What's the pre-psych?
The pre-psych was a news story that came out that said he was considering announcing a pause.
Yep.
And the markets rallied.
Off that.
But then another report came out from the White House that said it was fake news.
Oh my
and
goodness.
Then stocks dropped again.
Yeah.
In the same day.
Yeah.
That was before the actual pause was announced the following day.
Yeah. And you're kind of playing games. Like you're kind of playing games at this point.
Not kind of. You playing games.
So we announced the tariffs on April 2nd. He announced the pause on April 9th, which was Wednesday of this week. And at the same time, he also announced that we're going to raise our tariffs against China to 145%, which then resulted in China then saying, well, we're going to raise our stuff to 125%. And so he's got this pattern. He announces things. He hits you over the head with it. He then pauses it, which gives you a chance to then negotiate, meaning the other country can now negotiate. And this has been a pattern. Like he did this in his first term. But what's very different this time, this is why we're saying that our slip is showing, is that the financial markets are kind of sick of our stuff. Like, yes, the stock market rallied and that got everybody's attention.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't just look at the stock market.
Yes.
We also look at the bond market.
Absolutely. And the bond market almost never makes news.
It really doesn't.
So when it does, you know your slip is showing.
Yeah. What happened this week, which is very different, is that for one, the dollar has been selling off. The dollar has been getting weaker. But also, bond prices have been going down, which means yields are going up.
Mm-hmm.
That means, like, a lot of folks have said that Trump is doing these things to manipulate interest rates lower because he wants to decrease the borrowing costs for the United States when we go to refinance our debt. But the market is responding by raising interest rates. Like, typically, when stock prices are going down, you're also seeing interest rates going down at the same time, which means bonds are actually rallying. You're making gains in your bonds.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're seeing the stock market going down, and we're also seeing the bond market going down.
Yep.
And that's different because typically in times when there's volatility in the world, the U.S. is a safe haven.
Mm-hmm.
And you typically see the dollar rallying, the dollar getting stronger. You typically see interest rates going lower because money is just flushing into the United States.
Yep.
People are scared. I need to buy U.S. things. I need to buy U.S. treasuries. I need to put my money in the U.S. where it's safe.
We're the safe space, historically.
What we're seeing instead is money's flowing to Switzerland. Money's flowing to Japan. Those interest rates are actually going down. Their currencies are going up, which means we're starting to see a global change in how the U.S. is viewed.
Yes. Hence,
our slip is showing.
Yes.
And these policy games that are being played right now could have some really, really big repercussions globally for a very long time.
Can we even call them policies? Like,
I mean,
I know. I'm tomato, tomato. It's just, I'm just annoyed.
Yeah.
I'm annoyed by all of it.
Yeah. Yeah, policies is probably a nice way to put it.
Mm.
This mess.
Yes.
Missteps.
There's another phrase.
Yeah.
That I'm thinking.
Yeah.
That I won't say.
It's an expletive.
Ham.
Ham.
You follow me?
No.
A hot
mess? A hot what?
A hot ass mess.
The funny thing is, more Andrea is staring at me. It's like, you're expecting I'm going to know because you're looking at me more intently? Like, I don't know what you're saying.
You do that to me all the time. Stop it. I'm like, ham? You're like, a mess? I'm like, hot? It's okay. We both struggled a little bit this
week. My God, that's funny. And by the way, your boy is suffering from pneumonia at present. And I've been on bed rest. I was on 5 planes in 7 days. I went to Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Washington.
Took a red eye.
Red eye back to Jersey to do the live event, which I'm so glad I did.
Mm-hmm.
And then I immediately went down to Florida. I had a client who passed away. I had to go see
the
family and meet with the family. And then I was back in Jersey. And your boy didn't get much rest during this little stretch. And I was already coughing. And now, you know, your boy's got pneumonia. So, but I'm on the mend. I'm doing what the doctor said. I'm chilling out. Even right now, yes, I'm talking, but I mean, I would be talking at home.
Okay.
So data. We always start with data. Let's talk about this trade thing. And by the way, the funny thing about these tariffs, have you been doing this? Like, there's words that you know how to write, but like you misspell them all the time.
Yes. I'm like, one R, two Fs.
Tariffs has been messing me up. I think I've misspelled tariff. Probably not just me.
It's the R's and the F's.
Yeah, it's,
I'm never certain.
It's one R and two F's. And I can now remember it because it's effed up.
Like, right, yeah. No, I hear you.
So the U.S. is the second largest trading nation in the world, behind only China. We have $7 trillion in exports and imports. And our big issue is that we import more than we export. And our president views this as we are being robbed because people aren't buying as much stuff from us as we're buying from them. We trade with over 200 countries, but we're also the second largest exporter. Even though, like, we're exporting less, we're the second biggest in the world. So our exports to the world $2.1 trillion. Now, these numbers are as of 2022. They're a little dated. And they're up. In 2022, our exports were up 18%. Our biggest recipient of exports is Canada, which is crazy that we, like, you know, tried to, like, just hit Canada over the head.
Right.
They're like, yo,
we're your friends. Like, yo,
we've been buying y'all stuff.
What did I ever do to you, America?
And so our biggest trading partners that we export things to is Canada. Then Mexico. Again, we hit Mexico over the head. We're always talking trash about Mexico.
Always.
They're our second biggest customer.
Yep.
Our third biggest customer, China, who we also
picked a fight with.
Yep. Japan. And then the UK. And then what's crazy is the EU, Europe, they're bigger than just about everybody.
Yeah, you've got the aggregation of...
If you aggregate all of Europe, they're really our second largest purchaser. They're right behind Canada, right before Mexico, bigger than China. That's for us exporting things.
Yeah, let's talk about imports.
Okay, when it comes to imports, we are the largest importer in the world. And it's because we've got needs and there's not enough stuff in our country. So we got to get it from elsewhere.
Got to get it from somewhere else.
Like there's stuff that we don't make. Like there's stuff that we don't have. Like literally natural resources that are in the ground in other countries that we've got to import.
And there's stuff that, quite frankly, it feels like some business owners are just like, we don't want to make that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like we've made a business decision to outsource that.
Did you see the video that's been circulating, the AI video this week?
It's China making fun of us.
Yeah, like, it's sad but true.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't mad at it.
It's got Americans who happen to be a little overweight, which I think we get that rep globally that we are.
We earned it.
An overweight nation.
We earned it.
We eat processed food.
Mm-hmm.
FDA just lets everything
slide.
Probably
what's wrong with me right now.
Mm. Yeah.
Eating clean and then... I backslid.
Backslid. Your slip is showing. Yeah, so they showed these overweight American workers slowly building microchips and sneakers and sad music playing.
Yeah, like, yeah. Sewing machines, factory belts.
Yeah.
It's kind of telling.
So our imports in 2022, $3.2 trillion, and that was up 15%. So just to think about this, so... Our exports rose by 18, our imports rose by 15, so our trade deficit actually closed by 3% in 2022.
Hmm.
China was our top supplier.
Who was president in 2022?
I believe that was Joseph R. Biden at the time.
Well, just asking.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I will say Biden's trade policies were almost the same as Trump. Like,
yeah,
he didn't really
trying to give... Yeah. The Biden administration credit for something they deserve. It's really just pointing out how the current administration blames them for everything.
Word. Yep.
That's
so
all.
So China clearly was our top supplier of goods, but they're only 17%. Like you would think that they're giving us 80% of our stuff. Our top suppliers were China. Mexico was right behind China. Mexico was actually only off by like $80 billion, like $536 billion for China, $454 for Mexico. And what's crazy...
We're saying only an $80 billion in the same sentence.
I'm saying it's close.
No, I know.
But it's what's crazy, we import more stuff from Europe than we do China.
Right. So why are we picking a fight with China?
So Europe is $550 billion, China's $536 billion. Like, yeah, I know China's like... Y'all need this stuff. Like,
I see you and I'll raise you 25%.
We also import a lot from Canada, a lot from Japan, and also Germany. Now, here's the one thing that doesn't get talked about is service exports. Like, we always think about imports of goods and exports of goods, but the U.S. is also a big service exporter. We're the biggest exporter of services in the world. Our service exports are almost $1 trillion, and those service exports are up 17%. And our service exports are so big, it's 30% of all exports in the world. Our biggest purchaser is Ireland, followed by the UK, and then Canada and Switzerland. And again, if you merge Europe all together, they're our biggest buyer of our services.
Yeah.
Like, think about all of our management consultants, our global accounting firms, our investment banks. I mean, that's an export of services.
Right.
And then we're also importers. So we import $680 billion worth of services. The UK is our biggest supplier of services, followed by Germany, Canada, Japan, Mexico. And again, the biggest region is Europe. So when it comes to China, what do we get from them? Steel, aluminum.
I didn't know that.
Which one?
Steel or aluminum.
Yeah. What's crazy is like, that stuff is heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to like put that on a boat to get it over here. But clearly, they must have some good steel and aluminum.
Apparently.
Solar panels. We said that at the same time. That was so cute. Washing machines.
Consumer electronics. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Smartphones, laptops. And then a lot of times it's the components inside too, not just the actual phone.
Right. Same with toys, I guess.
And toys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All of that makes sense to me. The steel and aluminum, that threw me. I didn't know.
Yeah. And then we get some apparel and footwear from them too. What does China get from us? This is like a little bit funny.
I saw this story about soybeans.
Yep.
Like, what's happening with soybeans?
Yep. Their top goods that we send China is soybeans, crude oil, natural gas, pork and beef. Not pork and beans. Meat.
You know that's where my head
we
went,
We send
right?
them the meat, cars, wine, fruits, and nuts.
Like interesting.
A lot of the stuff we send is from farmers.
Yes. I wonder how they're feeling right now.
Yeah. So it means if China retaliates and puts tariffs on us, it's really hurting the farmers.
Yep.
Yeah.
And is it true that the agricultural community, by and large, were supporters of this administration going in?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a real narrative.
Yeah, no, they
or
thought
if that's,
they'd be protected yeah, and yeah. they're being hurt for yeah. sure. But what's crazy, a lot of the stuff that we give them or sell them, it's like stuff that we didn't hardly do a lot to.
Not processed.
Yeah, we're not. Yeah, we're giving them like almost raw materials.
Mm-hmm.
And they're giving us stuff that they've touched. Like they're giving us solar panels and washing machines, electronics, toys. Yeah, things that need a lot of manual input.
Right.
And so it makes sense that they've got a low wage workforce and we don't. And so we get the stuff from them. So we're talking today about our slip showing, about the policy changes that have been made and how the global financial markets are kind of sick of our stuff.
Yep.
We'll go to break and when we come back, we'll keep the conversation going.
I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we are the Momentum Advisors.
You won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times. Or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months. Or the Rogue, heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst, so you get its best. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. initial quality study award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown.
Momentum.
So we're back, and unfortunately, Andrea is not feeling too well. What are your symptoms, Andrea?
Just my stomach is a bit nauseous.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'm like, sorry I asked.
Oh. Like,
oh, man.
You really want to know?
Yeah, I didn't actually. Yeah.
Queasy.
No, I'm concerned about you.
Yeah, I'm going to be okay.
Yeah, well, I do have this remedy that I don't know if it works for us.
So is it ginger root? What else?
Yeah, so I discovered this at a Jamaican restaurant and it's like changed my life.
Okay.
So it's a ginger tea. Mm-hmm. You have to juice ginger, like fresh ginger, run it through a juicer. And you take like about like a little, like maybe like a half a shot glass worth of ginger in some boiling hot water, you know, a mug full.
Mm-hmm.
With a couple squeezes of fresh lemon, and some honey.
Yeah,
this is the best ginger tea. Yeah. Like normally ginger tea, I get it from a tea bag.
Yeah.
This is crazy good and it's made me feel so much better.
So you already have pressed, juiced ginger?
Yeah. Well, I have fresh ginger at the crib and then I have a juicer. Burning through the juicer. Yeah. It's a little, you know,
it's
complicated.
Work. It's some work. But no, you can actually buy ginger shots.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. That's what I'll be doing in the future.
There's tariffs on ginger shots though. No, I'm just joking.
You know, whatever. My health is worth it. I'll pull back on something else.
Yeah. So let's get back into these tariffs. TARIFFS, which I now know how to spell after misspelling it a million times. But typically low-income countries have higher tariffs. Like I know one of the big complaints is that other countries are tariffing us. But it's very typical. Like on average, the low-income countries have 8.5% tariffs and the high-income countries have 1.4% tariffs. And the reason why is that sometimes these developing countries are trying to just come up. They're trying to protect their local industries. They're trying to create wealth in their countries. And it's a way of equalizing things. And really, for a long time, the U.S. was a developing nation. Like up until the Great Depression, we had some of the biggest tariffs on other countries. And other countries didn't have big tariffs.
Here's a little light humor on tariffs.
Mm-hmm.
You know something is having an impact when you take a word that is one part of speech and you turn it into a different part of speech.
What do you mean?
Tariffs are nouns. They're things, right? We are all saying tariffing like it's a verb. Like word, tariffing is an action word.
Yeah.
Thank you, DJT. Seriously, like we are making it an action word because because it is.
Just
I don't
like
know.
Google.
I'm a grammar geek. So
Google used to be just a noun.
Right, a search engine.
It became a verb.
It's a verb. Google it.
Yeah.
We don't even say search anymore. It's just, maybe. It's a little thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Tariffing.
Yeah.
How do you tariff?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's corny, but I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I'm about to start tariffing people.
Really?
Yeah.
Who will you be tariffing?
I don't know. I think about it.
I got some people in mind.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So the crazy thing is like who actually pays the tariffs? I think generally this view is that the other country pays the tariff, but in reality, it's the importer that pays the tariff to your home government. So meaning if I am, let's say I am an American company and I need to get, let's say I'm Best Buy and I need to sell computers and washing machines, which I always thought strange that Best Buy has those things, but I guess they're both electronics
it's
and they're
all
both
electronics
coming from China.
Yep.
So if I'm Best Buy, as I'm bringing these goods to sell to the US customer, Best Buy is the one that pays the tariff.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't Japan.
Right.
It ain't China.
And what's Best Buy gonna do?
Best Buy's gonna raise their prices.
Yes.
Which means
we paying the tariffs.
You're paying the tariffs.
Yep.
Like that's simply how it works.
Yeah.
So I want to give some examples from the business world on how tariffs actually work. So there's a breast pump maker in the United States who's been in the news this week. Never mind. My wife tried using breast pumps for a while, but my kids liked it all natural. So not a lot of breast pumping went on in my house. So we did buy a breast pump. It's for the kids.
It's just a breast pump, not a breast pumper.
Okay.
But yes. Okay.
Well, what about the person who's operating the breast pump? What is that person called?
The mother.
Oh. Okay, fine. Fine. Okay. So this is a woman named Sarah Wells. She started a breast pump company in 2013 to create functional breast pump bags for moms. And she imports a lot of her things from China.
Okay.
Now, recently, because of the tariffs, like she's had to cut her supply of goods. Like she doesn't even know which products she can now offer. The costs are just too high. Like initially, she just cut her profit margins, but now the tariffs are just unsustainable. Like, so she's thinking about getting out of the business. And she's saying that, look, I don't have any loyalty to China. I would love for my stuff to be manufactured here, but I cannot find anybody that can produce the raw materials or the final assembly or the final assembly in mass production and scale enough in order for me to sell this product for a reasonable price. She says that even if she moved her manufacturing to the U.S., she would need imported materials from 14 other countries to make a single backpack.
That's a large amount of places.
Yeah.
To get into something that you may not necessarily think has a lot of parts.
Word.
To begin with.
So of the, she used to sell 115 things. She had to drop down to 10 things. That's all she sells now on her website. And things are so bad that she's got to go raise money to be able to just rebuild her inventory.
Yeah.
She's an American. She's an entrepreneur that's selling things to Americans.
Yep.
It's just that the way the global supply chain is set up, she's got to get some stuff from China.
Yeah. And I don't know that the administration truly understands that. It's like you either don't understand or you don't care. Which one is it?
Yeah.
Or is it both?
It's just like certain things sound popular. It sounds good. And maybe they didn't look into the details, or like you said, maybe they don't care.
So we pause everything else that we want to look into further.
Mm-hmm.
TikTok.
Yeah.
Vaccines. Like all those. Like we're being super petty about the stuff that we're pausing to look into further versus the things we're just slashing.
Yeah. So let me take it to another company. Now, this is a company that I think is in focus. It's Shein and Temu.
Yeah.
Is it Shein or Shein?
I've heard it pronounced Shein.
Okay. Have you bought stuff from Shein or Temu?
I personally have not, but there is a consumer in my household that certainly has.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Which I guess technically means I pay for it.
An adult or a child.
You know what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm. Male or female?
Cheap. We know what he's talking about. So the older one, he's more economically militant anyway. He'll be like,
ugh. Yeah.
We can't do this.
So typically, retailers are sending their things in bulk to U.S. warehouses. Mm-hmm. And at that point, the importer is paying the tariffs. There's a custom process. As the things hit the U.S. shores at the ports where our longshoremen work, that's when the tariffs get applied. But there's been a loophole that Shein and Temu have been taking advantage of, and that loophole is actually closing. And this was called the de minimis rule in commerce. And the de minimis rule simply meant that if it were a small purchase that went directly from overseas to a U.S. consumer, it's like too small for the customs folks to even care.
Right.
And that threshold was $800 or less. So if you were buying something from Shein or Temu and the cost was less than $800, there were zero tariffs. That's changing. There have been over 1.4 billion of these de minimis shipments per year, which means a lot of retailers, a lot of e-commerce companies have figured out that this exemption really is big business. And they're sending us low-priced things just to get us underneath that $800 threshold.
And so we love it.
Yeah.
We buying stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm. So now with these tariff changes, there's a new 30% tariff that will even impact these de minimis items. And what's crazy about this is like, you know, we talked earlier about how it's the American company that pays the tariff because they're the one. Best Buy in that example is the one that imported the thing. Well, when you're buying from Shein and Temu, guess who the importer is now?
It's us.
It's you.
Yeah.
Like personally.
Yes.
Like on your receipt, there's now going to be an actual tariff charge.
Yes.
That yo butt is going to pay.
Some business owners are saying it's already showing up.
Yeah.
On their invoices.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the industry, product, service.
So like what may happen, like maybe Shein and Temu figure out different ways to do business. Maybe they build warehouses here on shore in the U.S., and maybe they cover the tariff. And again,
it's going to take some time.
Add it to their prices, of course. But right now, like that's how it is.
Mm-hmm. How are you going to build a warehouse in 90 days?
Man, you're not. That's how.
Like some of the parts and materials you need to do it are probably coming from somewhere else too. Mm-hmm. Like
you might need some aluminum and steel for your warehouse. And then our unemployment rate is under 5%. So, like, where are the workers coming from? And we've been deporting workers left and right. So, slip is showing. Okay, now let's talk about Apple.
We showing more than our slip.
Yeah, our butt is showing. All right, so now let's talk about Apple. You know, this popular iPhone and their MacBook and MacBook Pro and all the different things.
All the things.
The AirPods, the whole nine. So, did you know, Andrea, that there's 1,000 components from all over the world that go into an iPhone?
Can't say I knew that for sure, but I also can't say I'm surprised.
And then they put it together in China. So, like, you might be getting components from countries that we're cool with.
Yep.
They get shipped to China. China then assembles it and puts it together. And they send it to Apple. Apple will then have to pay a tariff as if it was completely made in China, which, what does made even mean?
Yeah. Assembled.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, that's the way tariffs work. It's like if it's whatever the last person to touch it.
Mm.
So it's like, all right, well, maybe we should start, like, I don't know,
getting
Vietnam to do it. You know, like.
It still takes time and money.
So there's an analyst, a Wall Street analyst, that said if Apple were to try to reorganize things such that there's less of an emphasis on China, it would take 3 years and $30 billion to move even 10% of its supply chain outside of China.
10%. 3 years, $30 billion, 10%.
Yeah.
So, term is over.
So the $1,000 iPhone is going away, my friend. Some of the estimates on what it could cost is that the iPhone that cost a G today, $1,000 today, it could go up to $2,150. That's just based on the tariffs alone. And then if we ultimately were to make those iPhones in the United States, we'd have to clearly build plants here in Texas or South Carolina.
Yeah.
The iPhone, if it were built here, would go from $1,000 to $3,500.
That's bananas.
Yeah.
You're going to see people out here with flip phones, you know, people, refurbished.
I mean, sadly, you're going to see people getting beat over the head even more for their iPhone.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I didn't even think about that. Our iPhone strategy was one person got a new phone.
Mm-hmm.
The next person that needed a new phone got that.
Yeah,
new phone word. Purchasers,
mm-hmm.
old phone,
mm-hmm.
and the rest of us, the husband is out here buying cases and screen protectors.
Yep.
Like, you better protect what you got.
And then
we might not be buying a new one anytime soon.
And folks are also saying the quality would probably not be as strong if they changed all of these things just to try to avoid tariffs.
Truth.
You got jokers out here that got no business putting together an iPhone or Apple Watch, putting them together.
Lord, have mercy.
Yeah. So let's switch and let's talk about the impact on the financial markets. So this is not just the Momentum Advisor saying this.
Yeah.
There are Wall Street analysts and really economists all over the world that are saying that, look, these policies are starting to undermine confidence globally in the United States.
Yes.
It used to be that we were the place where you went if there was a flight to safety.
Yep.
There used to be this theme of U.S. kind of dominance and like U.S. exceptionalism, they used to call it, like we're better than everybody else.
Yep.
You know what's crazy? Like even Trump, I saw a video of him saying that other countries are kissing his ASS.
No, they are kicking his ASS.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I put these tariffs and now everybody's coming to me. They're groveling. They're kissing. Like you can't say that. Like there's 7 billion people outside the United States.
Yeah.
And you're just antagonizing all of them.
Yeah, everybody ain't doing it.
Yeah.
China's like, we will not be engaging in such behavior.
Mm-hmm. We're seeing the Swiss franc hitting a decade high. We're seeing the euro hit a 3-year peak. We're seeing the Japanese yen hit a multi-month high.
Everyone else's currency is rising.
Mm-hmm. We're seeing gold hit a new high.
Yeah.
And gold, I heard someone on CNBC this week say that gold is like the way that folks can buy volatility nowadays. Like if I'm scared, I used to buy treasuries.
Yep.
Now I buy gold. And like I'm glad that most of our Momentum clients have gold in their portfolios. And this weakness, like Wall Street is saying that there's a waning view of economic exceptionalism. And what's crazy, this whole thing started out as a man-made thing.
Totally unnecessary.
In control of the president.
Yep. Everything else is in good shape by all accounts. Unemployment was low.
Word.
Earnings were high. Companies were still being profitable. Inflation has certainly come down. Even if you want to give him credit, which I don't, but we will, for the price of eggs coming down. Like everything is things all the fundamental
okay.
things.
Things were doing okay.
We're in good shape. And so just to come in and shake it up without a real strategy, that's the part I'm struggling with.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is now this man-made thing, which could have been just ended, is now potentially going to start a recession in the United States.
Yeah.
Because the world ain't playing with us anymore.
Yeah.
And our own consumers are getting less confident.
Yeah.
Like, we react, like people react to these things. We saw the woman with the breast pump company, the pumpers, like she's ordering less of them.
Yeah.
She's cutting her supply. That means there'll be less things for us to buy. Like there's economic ramifications to these policy changes. Our slip is starting to show.
Yeah. So we're going to go to break and we're going to wrap up this conversation about tariffs. I think that's why I'm not feeling well. I think all of this has literally made me sick.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to put a tariff on sickness. So
you owe
20%.
Okay. Yeah, that's going to make me feel better. I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we are the Momentum Advisors. It's the pathway to freedom. It's leading to the North Star.
You won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times, or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months, or the Rogue heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst, so you get its best. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Initial Quality Study Award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown. Momentum.
So we're back.
Slip's still showing.
More than the slip is showing. I think the slip has come off, fallen down, pulled around the ankles, and now we're showing Lord. Way more.
Oh, my God. Around the ankles?
I mean.
Dang. So, ironically, it was a good week on Wall Street this week. Like the NASDAQ was up 7% for the week. Because of that one day we had Wednesday and then markets were up again on Friday. But like the 10-year treasury rose to 4.5%. Like I will tell you, like I'm in the process of refinancing my mortgage right now, mainly because I had an adjustable rate mortgage. Mm-hmm. And I have been hoping in the back of my head that like, you know, the forecasts were correct and the Fed might be cutting interest rates soon and all that. Rates are rising though. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Rates are rising. That ain't good. Because the Fed, we know they mainly control the short-term side of the interest rate equation. They don't really control the long end of the curve, the 10-year, the 30-year. I mean, they could go out and do another round of quantitative easing, which is when they go out and take dollars from the Treasury and buy more bonds to try to push rates down. But, like, there's limits to that. And mm-hmm. you're making the balance sheet bigger at a time when we're trying to cut things back.
Yeah.
So, like, our slip is showing we're starting to potentially push our economy into a recession just based off of policy mistakes. Other things that we're seeing this week, consumer confidence dropped. We saw consumer confidence. And this is really, you know, consumers get surveyed by, you know, like the University of Michigan is the big organization that surveys consumers. And sentiment is low. You know, sentiment is really based on like, how do I feel right now about my economic expectations for tomorrow?
Yeah. And typically when consumer confidence and sentiment is low, in relatively short order, it tends to be followed by higher prices in the stock market.
Yeah. Usually it's a counter
yep.
indicator for sure.
Yeah. And so you know, I don't know if you're getting a lot of this. Some people, although they recognize there's uncertainty and there's some fear even, some people are like, there's some opportunities here though, right?
Yeah, it's the truth.
It's like,
true. But I mean,
you gotta like, have, it's so volatile that you don't really know.
Yeah, it could get lower for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. If consumer confidence hit 50.8 amongst Republicans, it's down to 81.9, but still down. So that means Republicans are also losing confidence. And then amongst Democrats, it's down to 34%. That, like, that's a huge gap between Democrats and Republicans, but both are going down.
Yeah.
Inflation expectations are starting to rise. So in this survey, they asked folks, well, what do you think inflation's going to be? We're now seeing 6.7% is what folks are thinking it's going to go to. I'm not saying they're right, but I'm saying inflation expectations are real.
This like, is this how is people
what folks
feel.
Expect. Mm-hmm. People expect that these tariffs are going to make prices go up. Other things happening.
The bottom line is the markets just don't like uncertainty. Yeah. Business owners don't know how to operate. So in some ways, it's paralyzing.
Yeah.
Because no one really knows what to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's earnings season now. So we're about to start hearing and we're starting to hear companies come out and talk about how much profit or loss they have for the quarter. And then typically they give guidance, which is what I expect moving forward. With these tariffs, even the 90-day pause, like we still don't know what's going to happen after that. Like you're going to hear a lot of companies saying like, look, I don't know what's going to happen next quarter.
Right. So the reality is earnings are in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
It's whatever happened this quarter or this cycle. In terms of guidance, nobody knows. So it's kind of like, even, I don't know about you, but even when I'm doing quarterly investment reviews for clients, it's kind of like, yeah, that's nice, but where am I right now?
Yeah.
And where is this going?
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, but it comes back to the conversation control, which you can.
Yeah. Speaking of which, our listeners don't listen to just hear us complain. They want to hear some advice. Well, what do I do?
What do I do?
Okay. So the first thing I'll tell you is this, like the dollar's weakening. People don't like us globally. You may want to plan a domestic vacation this year. Like the idea of like going to Europe right now, probably not good. And I'm being funny when I say, you know, they're not feeling us globally. But like, yo, if the dollar is weaker, it means that when you travel, everything's more expensive.
Yes.
It means maybe you do want to think about buying American right now.
Yeah.
Because you're going to find that European things, Louis Vuitton, Louis, Gucci, Hermes, all that stuff is going to be a lot more expensive.
Yeah. If you got to have it, think about some pre-loved stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or just don't do it.
Yeah.
We have options.
I think you got to keep investing.
You must keep investing.
Yeah. Like even though our slip is showing and all that, we can't take our money out the market. Like you just never know. Like
imagine
if you had taken your money out the market right after the Liberation Day when all the markets were down.
Yep.
Then you missed a big pop this past week.
That's right. And that's what typically happens. Again, it's not just about consumer sentiment, but even when there are dramatic drops in the market historically, not counting this year, 17 out of the last 20 times, the stock market closed at record highs within 12 months.
Wow.
That's a bet I'm making.
Yeah.
That's a better bet. Those are better odds than the lottery. Those are better odds than trying to time the market, figure out when to come out and when to get back in. That's a pretty safe bet.
Yeah.
If you're a long-term investor.
Now, here's something for the person that, like, there's a lot of people who invest in their brokerage account and they have a lot of gains and they don't want to sell those stocks, even if they're like sick of the companies, like, because they can't. Like, the gains are just significantly too high. I'm stuck with this company that I really don't want.
Mm-hmm.
Now might be a chance for you to actually do some diversifying and your tax bill may be low or zero.
Yes.
So, like, if you are that person that's been holding on to investments because of the taxes, take a look at your cost basis. There might be a chance to do some tax loss harvesting right now. There might be a chance for you to redeploy those dollars into a different strategy.
Absolutely. And just to be clear, I know you said it. We're talking about brokerage accounts. You cannot do this in a retirement account.
Yeah. Yeah.
And retirement accounts are not subject to capital gains or tax loss selling in the same way.
Said differently, in your IRA, you should never be worried about taxes. So like never be like, oh, I can't sell that because I got to pay taxes.
The taxes are driven by when you pull money out, not when you sell.
Yeah. But I'll give you an example. I have a client. We did this during the COVID recession. She was very, very set on making her money match her mission. She wanted socially responsible investments. And the issue was she had been in a portfolio for many years and all of her investments had gone up by a ton. We had this really, really short window of time during COVID when the market went down. And that gave us a chance to get out of her old portfolio and into a portfolio that really was designed to really match her social views. Mm-hmm. And we used that window of time to completely revamp her portfolio. So for you, like maybe this is a chance. Maybe there's some companies that you don't want to own anymore. Maybe there's some companies that you want to own. Or if it's not companies, maybe it's an ETF or maybe it's something different you want to do.
Yeah.
Now might be a chance for you to do it and pay less taxes during the transition.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about those folks who are worried about the devaluation of the dollar, worried about rising interest rates? One idea might be, and you got to hear me very carefully. Like, I am not telling you to sell all your stocks.
Right.
But you may think about moving some of your bond money into cash.
Yeah.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
Hear me out for a minute. What the market's showing us right now is that if we get a recession, bonds may not provide the safety that they've typically provided. Right? Because we're seeing that things are looking bad in the stock market, and they're also starting to look a little worse in the bond market. Now, if you switch money into cash right now, when I say cash, I'm talking about money market funds.
Yes.
I'm talking about high yield savings. You might be able to get 4% on your cash.
Yep.
That's probably not a bad trade right now.
Exactly. And, you know, in talking about moving bonds to cash, it's exactly what you're saying, moving bonds to cash. What some people are doing because they cannot tolerate emotionally the dramatic drop in stocks, they're wanting to sell stocks and move that money to cash.
Not
and that's not what we're saying.
Yeah.
I just felt like that needed to be clear.
No, for sure. And I hate saying it, but like, listen, this kind of makes sense right now.
Yeah.
I don't know what will happen next, but like getting 4% sounds pretty good right now.
Yes.
In terms of compared to what I might get in my bond portfolio.
Yes.
Because we know that inflation is like kryptonite for bonds. And if we get an increase in inflation, then we also know that our bonds are not going to do as well. And so one way to, again, make things a little safer is to take some of our money that's invested in bonds and move it into cash. Another fancy way to say that is I've decreased my duration risk. I've decreased my interest rate risk by moving from longer dated bonds into money market funds.
Not all your bonds.
Not all.
But some of your bonds.
So let's say I got, you know, 40% of my portfolio in bonds, 60% in stock. Maybe I take the 40 down to 30 and I move 10% into money market funds. So we've talked about continuing to invest. We've talked about maybe using this as a chance to reduce your tax bill. We've talked about moving some of your bonds into cash. Just some. Like again, we've said maybe go from 40% down to 30 in bonds, and the 10% goes into not just cash, but money market funds or high yield savings. Additionally, you know, as you're rotating, as you're thinking about your stock allocation, a lot of folks have gotten very, very used to only owning the US, like because the US has done better than the rest of the world for like the last 10 years.
But maybe we won't for the next 4 or 5.
Yeah. And certainly we're seeing that this year.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing that Brazil, India, China, those three markets are actually doing way better than the rest of the world this year. And in particular, Europe's doing better than US. Like literally we are among the worst performing stock markets this year. So as you're thinking about your stock allocation, again, we're not telling you to go to cash, but we are saying of the 60% that in that example that may be in stocks, is that diversified enough? Do you have exposure to international companies? Do you have exposure to emerging market companies? Because when you invest in those markets, you're diversifying your dollar ownership, and you're exposing yourself to other economies, which does help during times like now. Other things within your safe bucket, like a lot of our clients already own gold, but like, hey, maybe that should be part of your 40, part of your safe portfolio. Maybe it's 1%, maybe it's 2%. Now, I will say we are at almost an all-time high for gold, so Maybe not the best time to be buying it now, but like, hey, if we get a pullback in gold, why not use it as an opportunity to buy some gold ETFs?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. Like, again, I don't want to make major shifts to my portfolio right now. I don't want to go from, 80% stock down to 50% stock right now. Like, it's too, the market's down too much. But like,
there'd have to be a different compelling reason to do that.
Yeah. And we're not saying that.
Yeah.
We're saying we want to stay invested. Just make sure that you're adequately diversified.
That's it. And then there are the things we can 100% control. We've got to get back to the basics. We got to mind our budgets.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what you're spending money on currently.
Yep.
Think strategically about which of those things might increase. And then we have some decisions to make.
Absolutely.
So pay attention to your expenses. And in some cases, you can anticipate the things that are going to cost more, that you'll have to pay more for. And then that way you can make some decisions about what you're no longer wanting to spend money on or what you're willing to trade off to get the things that you really want or need.
Absolutely. Like if you're worried about a recession, then think about your personal economy. If you're worried about things being more expensive, then you may want to start cutting right now. Are you buying in bulk? Are you eating out too much? Do you have emergency savings?
Yeah.
Like now's the time to really make sure that our own personal things, like these are the things to your point, Andrea, that we can control.
Yes.
We can't control Donald Trump.
Right.
His wife can't control him. Yeah. The Congress can't control him. The Senate can't.
We can't control how much things cost. They're just going to cost what they're going to cost.
Yeah.
But we can control how much we spend.
Absolutely. If you're thinking about any career moves, like think really carefully right now. Like I had a call with a person recently who's working for the government. They were thinking about taking a buyout, an optional buyout,
mm-hmm.
to then go work for a government contractor. I'm like, dude, like the government is cutting.
Yes.
Like you don't see that.
Right.
So like you're probably a little safer right now working directly for the government versus a contractor, right. which a contract could get cut in a heartbeat.
Yeah. What would be the goal?
Yeah.
What would be the reason to do that?
A lot of folks are they're sick of mm-hmm. what's happening. This buyout is very attractive. It's designed to get people to quit their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But you really got to be thinking about what's next for you.
Right. And the government might not renew that contract,
word.
The contract with the contractor you're working with.
In the DMV area where there's a lot of folks that work for the government and for government contractors,
mm-hmm.
the contractor job looks really attractive
mm-hmm.
in normal world, in normal times.
This is not normal.
Not right this second.
Right.
So be careful with your career moves right now.
Yes.
Show up on time. Like do a good job. Like don't be the first one lined up for that layoff.
Yes.
Because like we just don't know what the job market's going to hold in the future.
Absolutely. And finally, and maybe firstly, don't panic.
Still
don't panic. We did a show about that a couple mm-hmm. of weeks ago, and all the things that we said still hold true. If you panic, you're more likely to make emotional decisions, and emotional decisions are more likely lead to things that are not to our financial benefit.
That's it.
Even if we feel better in the moment.
Yeah. Now look.
Facts over feelings.
Our slip is showing. We talked about it. Things are changing. Things are a little bit different. But those same lessons of diversification, they still work. The same principles of investing involving time, it's still true.
The fundamentals of financial planning.
Still true. Things will bounce back. Even if we get a recession, we've already talked about the fact that trouble don't last always. And we'll be okay in the end. Don't do anything crazy. like stop listening to the Momentum Advisors. That would be crazy. Keep listening. We'll be back next week. And also, if you want us to take a look at your personal situation, we'll spend 30 minutes with anyone who's a listener. Momentum-advisors.com/contact. You'll land on either my personal calendar or Andrea's calendar or both if you're lucky. And we'll spend time with you to walk through your situation and hopefully talk you off the ledge if you're on it.
Yep, we're right there holding hands with you, but we're not going to jump.
That's it.
I stole that from Alan, but it's worth repeating.
But I'm a tariff it though.
Okay. I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we are the Momentum Advisors.